The Nine Years Podcast is brought to you in association with Freddie Flaxman. All right, everybody, and welcome to episode 303 of the 9 Years Podcast. 303. If you will, but certainly not half as good as 606. I'd say it's actually twice as good, especially since Chris Sutton and Robbie Savage took over doing it and I stopped listening to it because, you know, Premier League is bollocks and I can't be bothered. Anyway, I am Nick Draper. I'm joined as always by the face of the BBC Sport website, Mr. Stuart Deakins. Thank you very much for downloading the show this week. We have two football matches to talk about, two very different football matches, two very different performances. We'll be looking ahead to the trip to Salford City on the weekend and then a replay with Weymouth the Tuesday night following. And we just very, very briefly, because we don't get into it, talk about Don's Trust elections as well as an interesting game of Jackson 5. Well, it's always interesting. This week's stats that I have for Stu is quite something, but we'll get onto that in a minute. Stu, where do you want to start? Charlton or Weymouth? Charlton? Jeez. Leighton or...
When do we play them?
Do you know what it is? It's because in my head, and I even tweeted it before the Leighton Orient game, I said we need a performance akin to the Charlton performance from like 2018 when Lyle Taylor scored the winner. We won 1-0. I said we needed that sort of evening at Plough Lane against Orient following on from the Weymouth performance, and we certainly got it. Does that mean we should start talking about, should we start then with the Orient game?
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Okay, we won 2-0.
Let's be fair. Weymouth, we ain't going. Let's be fair. Weymouth, I don't want to discuss too much. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just, well, I didn't go. But you did actually. So you can probably talk about the enjoyment of the day.
Hey, away days. Bear in mind that I've not done one in so long. And this one was a little bit different because I was on a coach, which isn't preference. But yeah, everyone loves an away day, isn't it? It's good fun going away from home. Even if the performance, especially second half, was not great. But anyway, Leighton Orient, we won 2-0. And blimey, do we have a lot to talk about. Where do you start? I don't even know where to start with it, Stu. I christened it on Twitter afterwards as the Battle of Plough Lane. You think that's fair?
Yeah. Do you know what? It was weird, wasn't it? It took me by surprise. I'm, you know, doing 9 years TV, and I was... So I was chatting to one of the coaches. I'm not going to say who it was, but one of the coaches asked me what I thought, and I went, yeah, I hate to say it, but it's one of those games, isn't it? You know, it's a free hit, and I hate saying that, and I've got a really sort of, like, look, which I should have sort of, like, guessed that that wasn't how they were viewing it. But I think, I mean, I don't think I'm alone on going to Plough Lane on Tuesday thinking, you know, we'd do well if we get away with a 1-0 defeat. I just didn't feel we had enough in us to cause Leighton Orient issues based on their record, which is impressive. So yeah, it took me by surprise, and I think in a way that then made it even better because I wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I mean, that's always the way, isn't it? Things are always better when you're not expecting them. Everyone likes a surprise. We should say then, for completeness, we won 2-0, two first half goals, Ayuba Sal after just before the 20-minute mark, and Harry Pell about 10 minutes before the break with the second goal. I think, but she, the point you make there, you said you didn't see how you didn't think how we could cause Orient problems. I kind of think for long stretches, we didn't really, if we're being honest with you. I think the goals were our only two shots on target, I think. Remember their keeper.
You can't,
the free kick.
You can't count a post, can you? That's on target. Is that right?
No. Yeah, no, the post isn't on target.
Which is crazy because it's target.
Well, no, it's not. It's not, because if it was the target, then it would be a goal.
Yeah. It's one of those weirds, isn't it, of what counts on that sort of side of it. I know what you mean, but I think we did it. I think, yes, in terms of shots on target, we did have low, but I think how we approached a game, you know, we got in their faces, we made it a really horrible game, got the crowd involved. I think that forced Leighton Orient to play probably how they haven't had, you know, they look rattled from the first 10 minutes. And that was a surprise. And I think that set the tone. Yes, they had chances early on, but they looked rattled. And I think in the end, we got them. Well, I think, you know, Richie Wellens has said it afterwards that they played our game. We managed to get them to play a dirty, horrible game that, you know, I felt sorry for the referee because, wow, that was a hell of a game to referee because, you know, as we call it, the shithousery, there was loads going on, wasn't there? No, I didn't know. I don't know about you, but there was a couple of us sitting up top and we were all looking at different things because things were just kicking off everywhere.
It was impossible to keep up with stuff at times. And
so I think you're right in terms of shots on target, but we did take a chance as well. But we did something that, you know, it's easy to do in a London derby. And you know, the old argument where, like, when you're not expected to get anything, you sometimes, you know, like when you go 2-0 down, you play better because you're out of the game.
Mm.
You know, from my point of view, that's a standard now. That's a standard. You know, it shouldn't be just because it's Lane Orient. We now need to go into the next games and stuff because we've shown that we can do it.
Mm. I mean, the elements I'd like to see going forward are pressing and our harrying and our closing down, our tracking back, all that side of the game. But I don't think we can play like that every week. There's many reasons for this. One, I think we played a team that were expected to come out and take the game to us, and that benefited us. I think it was, do you know what, for Johnny Jackson's style of management and the way he sets teams up, I think that's the perfect situation for him. Because I don't think he has to overthink things. He knows that if we play compact and we get men behind the ball and then we simply just play on the break, frustrate opposition, play on the break and we'll get rewards. And yeah, we got, hey, look, no Josh Davison in this team. We're screwed. And people say that might be harsh on a couple of other individuals. Asal will be one that people will look to with the goals he's scoring in a minute. But I just think it's so important to have Davison. Everything basically goes out the window without him. But yeah, I mean, in terms of the style of play, I don't think we cannot play like that every week because we're not going to play against teams that will be expected to be on the front foot. We've seen it so many often this season. And when we come up against the likes of a Barrow or a Stockport or a Carlisle or a Colchester or a Harrogate, we really struggle because we still don't look like a team that really knows when we've got to be on the front foot how to do it.
Yeah, no, I get what you mean. I think the thing that pleased me the most is, you know, the basics in football are winning your second balls, getting around the ball. You know, I just felt dead. It was as if, in a way, we played League Two football, which is no disrespect, we played how other teams, you know, we knocked the ball down the channels. We gained yardage, you know, Chris Gunner was literally knocking the ball into a channel, get a throw on. You know, for me, if you do those, hey, look, we've probably all got to learn, and even Johnny Jackson, is that you can't play pretty football realistically unless you have the really good players with it.
Yeah.
But Ashley is working on his set pick. Like, you know, you said before about Ethan Chislett, dead ball, absolutely brilliant on dead balls.
Yeah.
You know, so let's get into areas where we can be effective. So I think, you know, the second balls that we won were really important, you know, and if you do those, because realistically, I don't think I've heard Plough Lane like that probably since Charlton game, you know, and obviously going back to early part of Plough Lane. But we need that crowd behind us because that really drives them on. So I've said to you before, I think Plough Lane can be sometimes difficult for the players because just as much as it's an advantage, it can be a disadvantage if the crowd are just turning against you, and we've seen a turn very quickly on that, don't we? So I think that's the basis. But I agree with you, you know, Josh Davison, when we heard that he was potentially injured, or that worried me because who leads that line? He does all that donkey work, doesn't he? And he's a very, I want to say he's underrated, but the work that he does and the involvement he had in the first goal was excellent.
Yeah. There's a couple of things I want to pick up on. The atmosphere, first of all, I thought Tuesday night was a classic example of sometimes the crowd will lift the players, but other times the players will lift the crowd. I think the players definitely lifted the crowd because I think we started actually really quite quiet. There was a hangover from what happened against Weymouth, which I do have to speak about that when we get onto it, because there is something I need to make a point about that. But then once we got the first goal and the crowd got up, and that's when the crowd really got up, and then there were some strong tackles going in, the referee made a couple of dodgy decisions, and then the crowd were really up for it and on from there. Ethan Chislett, you mentioned, I want to clear up something I tweeted on Tuesday night, which is at 9YRS Podcast, if you don't already follow us and are on Twitter, by the way. I said you can't drop Ethan Chislett until you've got someone that replaces his set pieces. And the reason I said that, because a couple of people said, why would you drop him anyway? The reason I said it is because if Nathan Young-Coombs was fit, I don't think Chislett gets in that starting 11.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know what? Set plays are always important in any game. You know, no matter who you are, set plays are really important. It's why people, you know, have coaches.
That's why David Beckham made a career out of them.
Exactly. You know, and let's be fair, when he hit the post with a cracking free kick, and the wall was never 10 yards. The referee didn't even measure it properly. And it was a big wall. They were a big team, Leinorien. And he still got over and on target. And he does that consistently.
Yeah.
You know, he put another ball in for Ray Taylor. It just went wide. You know, I feel that we don't get enough set pieces because we need to learn to play as a League Two side. It's the basics, you know, channel balls, yardage, get your dirty free kicks. You know, Harry Pell spent more time on his backside than he did on his feet, but he won. But do you know what? I don't have an issue with that because actually, if he's winning free kicks and they are winning free kicks, they're not, you know what I mean? Like, you make more of them, don't you? You know, he's winning free kicks by how he plays, then you get set plays.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference, isn't it? But yeah, I think you've got, you know, even Chizzer, I get frustrated sometimes with off the balls. I think he's better than what he is. I think he's better on the ball. But I think, again, we may have to and you're right about Nathan Young-Coombs, but we might have to sacrifice Chizzer in a way. And what I mean by that is he's probably not suited to the style if we're going to continue playing that way. He's probably not suited to that because he wants the ball at his feet and stuff. But actually, he will be influential in the final third if we can get him in. Do you know what I mean? So we might have to make some trade-offs in terms of how you play, and Chizzer might look anonymous for 20 minutes, get a free kick, and then he's influential. If we're going to continue to play this way, which you'd be stupid now to change it.
Well, this thing, and it's a bit of a happy accident because injuries have got us to this place, haven't they? I mean, what team do you pick other than that 11 on Tuesday night? What other options do you have? And again, I'll talk about that, about what happened at Weymouth as well in a moment. The style of play, and you said about Harry Pell. Harry Pell was on full on, like, wind up mode on Tuesday night. It was, honestly. Do you know what? If he was playing against us, I would be lamenting. If we're Leighton Orient fans, we're recording a podcast right now. I think we might even use the word embarrassing because at times some of his diving and things were a little bit. I likened him somewhere to Robbie Savage. It was that kind of performance. And I think we just have to, hey, look, no one's complaining because as we said before, when it comes to AFC Wimbledon, we're like any other football club, fan-owned, not fan-owned, whatever else you want this club to be, at the bottom line is what fans care about is winning football matches and don't give a shit how you do it. But we were proper, hey, look, Stu, you've said in the past, maybe you wouldn't be averse to having Steve Evans as manager. Well, I think maybe we actually got him on Tuesday night with that performance.
Yeah, but you know what? Leighton Orient weren't angels in that.
They weren't angels. No.
You know, and I didn't realise that Paul Terry is one of their coaching and Matt Harrold. Now, you normally, you know, talk about Steve Evans, a team normally reflects their manager.
Yeah.
In terms of, and Richie Wellens was a niggling player. And he was, you know, like, what I mean by that, if you look at the first half, Archibald on their right, they targeted Jack Curry.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no doubt about that. And the great thing was, is in the end, Jack Curry won that battle because he just didn't respond. You know, like, and then in the end, Archibald got substituted and got frustrated. So I thought for Jack Curry, that was a really big game for him. You know, I know he's had bigger games before, but actually, defensively, I don't think he's as strong. A lot of fullbacks are not nowadays, they're more for what they can do going forward nowadays in terms of the modern game. But he didn't react. He actually annoyed Archibald. And in the end, it's like they got into... I just felt they got into dark arts of it and we out-battled them on dark arts. And I like that. You know, Chris Gunner, hilarious. Like I think I said on 9 Years TV, he wasted time by talking to the linesman.
Yeah.
Absolutely hilarious. The linesman was oblivious to it. And I'm like, that is brilliant. It was just... Do you know what I mean? But I think Harry Pell won free kicks when we needed the free kicks, you know, when there was pressure on. And what we haven't done before, we made it a cup tie with that. So I think, yeah, do you know what? If it's against you, you don't like it. But we need to start getting hey, look, we're learning now how to play League Two football. We now need to learn the whole of League Two football. You know, it's not nice, but you're right. Hey, look, we're fans. We moan about it when it's against us, but, you know, time wasting, all that sort of rubbish. But when it's for you,
this you is celebrate the thing. It. This is why we've mentioned this many times on the podcast, that we needed to learn these sorts of things. And that's why I've never really moaned about teams coming and time wasting and doing what they have. Because this, you know what I mean? If you can get away with it by any means necessary, as the Nation of Domination used to say for the wrestling fans out there. Harry Pell as well. The finish, it's one of those weird ones, because when the ball falls to him, especially from where I'm watching the games in the West Stand, it's almost like you see it happening before it happens. You can see, you can see where the players are and the positions and the angle. You know what shot he's got to take on, and he executes it just absolutely perfectly. Like, absolutely stunning goal. It's one of those you really wish you were right behind. Like, do you know what I mean? You'd love to have been right behind that one.
But do you know what? To be fair, I think we were not far away from it. But to be fair, the referee plays an advantage.
Yeah, he does. Jack Curry, he does.
So there's loads of things on there, isn't it? And hey, look, I've been critical of Estelle over many, many weeks because I just think he's better than what he's producing. However, now you could argue he scored 3-3. But he was direct, you know, and that was the thing. Once he got past, they were scared of him. They just didn't want him one-on-one. They didn't want to tackle him because he was going to go down. In the end, he gets his shot. He gets a shot off, and it ricochets out to Harry Pell. But it's an excellent finish. And at 2-0 at that point, Leighton Orient. I didn't think Leighton Orient were out of the game at 2-0. Didn't think that for 1 minute. No, I didn't. Okay. Because we've seen us play, haven't we? Do you know what I mean?
Well, like, yeah.
You know, I always feel like if one goes in, then we, you know, Leighton Orient get hurt. Because Leighton Orient, still a very good team, like in terms of Smith. Was it Smith on? Yeah.
Their
wide right is, sorry, their wide left is just an excellent player, like speed and they're dangerous in there. I think the thing was it fans a hand because Prattley was the one, it was like the pattern one villain, wasn't it? Prattley, how he stayed on the pitch, I think, done well. But what I'll tell you a story. As we were coming out, as we were coming out on Tuesday night late, I could hear some laughing, and it was Alex Woodyard, Harry Pell and Prattley all laughing with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They obviously know each other. London derbies, a lot of people know each other. And Woody came over and had a quick chat, and I was laughing, saying it was hilarious. You started talking. He's like, yeah, it's a good game. It's a good laugh.
Yeah.
So I think obviously they know each other, and probably why the referee let the things go. But it was just hilarious how they come out and they're all friends. Do you know what I mean? They had a really good battle on the pitch. I think they respect each other. And they do that. So, hey, look, do you know what? It was an interesting night. What I was going to say quickly was the first goal, the thing that impressed me the most was, and I think what got the crowd going, was the fact when they got the run, he had two runners off him. Paris went. And the other one was Riley Towler.
Yeah, well.
So in terms of our quick break, you know, Josh Davidson done the work, but we had runners off with real drive. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were selfless runs because they were just taking people away. But when the fact you've got Patrick Homan, who I think had something to prove, we can probably go back to the Weymouth game. Mm. Riley Towler, what's Riley Towler doing up there? But I think for me, that showed, actually, do you know what? There's something in this team tonight. Like, they've been rattled, probably is what we're going to discuss over Weymouth. But that first goal is just excellent, just because of the movement off the ball and the pace of it. And it set, like I say, it set the tone from then.
And to be fair to Paris Magoma, to make the run he made to overlap to get in front of Vassal is fantastic, considering you've not going to pass it, Paris. That pass is never going to come. Not going to happen.
That's the thing, though, isn't it? It's those selfless runs that actually take a defender away. It meant the defender had to be wary. But when players do that, I think when players don't do that, that's when you know the team's struggling.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I mean by that is also if you press in numbers, you're relying on, like, there was one point late in the second half where I think Pell pressed, then Woody pressed, and Jack Curry didn't press.
Mm.
And what he was straight away like, you've got to press, because if you're going to press in numbers, if you're going to make those pressing movements, if one person doesn't do it, then you've just wasted your energy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, sometimes things like that show a little bit of what the team is about, and that was pleasing. But like I say, it's 90 minutes, and we've got to continue it.
Yeah, it's also I'm also amazed that Woody got another 90 minutes. I'm not actually entirely sure how he's doing this right now. So I mean,
He's not a full pelt yet. I think we all can see that
we
he's
can see
playing
that.
it. But hey, look, I'm a big fan of Alex Rudyard. I think he's great on the pitch, and he's just as good off the pitch in that dressing room. But he does lead by example, and I think, do you know what? At 29, he's not old, but his experience does tell. Do you know what I mean? He hits the right. If you look at his movement, his area, he always hits the areas. He's a Danny Ballman, but just 10 years younger. Because he just reads the game. You know, he knows where to be to win the second balls. He looks like a calming influence along it. But you're right, he's getting through games. And we need that, because let's be fair, you know, off the bench, I don't think Johnny Jackson has confidence in his bench because of the ages of them. I think that's quite apparent. So we don't really, like, George Marsh comes on, but that's only because Paris Montgomery is probably going to be targeted and get sent off. But if you're going to bring someone on to a London derby with a bit of rattle, then George Marsh is hilarious.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And you know what? He was straight, and he picked up. It was interesting. He made a point a couple of weeks ago about players sometimes when it comes out, it's difficult to pick up the pace of the game. But George Marsh came on and he picked up straight away, and he actually had an excellent contribution for the time he was on.
I agree, and he made probably the best slow tackle booking. He took one for the team when Asale didn't pass off to the Chisler. But it was interesting, I'd say, having Woody and Marsh in this. We haven't probably seen them play together too many times.
Yeah, true.
But I actually like the substitution, because I thought it would make us more in that midfield area. I thought that was the area to win. You know, that's why I think Harry Pell against Prattley was interesting, because Harry Pell won that battle. Hey, look, do you know what? We're right. Hey, look, do you know what? We released a crazy gang retro kit, didn't we? And I'd imagine if someone like Vinnie Jones or stuff was watching that, they would have been like, oh my days, you know, like fawning over. But it was just an interesting email on that. But I haven't left Power Lane that happy for a long while.
And as I said earlier, Stu, never again shall we ever moan about time wasting or going down a little easy. Things like that, because and moaning at the referee as well, because you know, and Josh Davison did a classic in terms of time wasting towards the end. He threw the ball away. It was an Orient free kick, and he threw the ball away, but he had waited until the referee had turned his back to him, so the referee had not seen it. And it's just little things like that. Unfortunately, Ayoub did his time wasting kicking the ball away right in full view of the referee, got booked for it, and is now suspended for Saturday.
This is why he annoys me. He annoys the hell out of me, because he's basically just got I would lay money he hasn't got a booking this season for a foul. I'd rather, if you get a yellow card, get it for taking some.
Like George Marsh.
George Marsh, I applaud it, because it's the yellow card that's needed, a yellow card. It's what is known in the game as taking one for the team. But by doing some shooting practice, he's not taking one for the team. It's just, it's that petulance sometimes. But equally, the other side of it is that he again added to that frustration of Leighton Orient, because I think there was many coming together, wasn't there? Let's be fair. There was many, but there was one bit, I think, where someone got booked, and Abasal is literally walking into their player, nudging him, giving him a nudge off the ball and that, and he's winding him up.
Yeah.
So that there are things where I think Ayub is really good with that. You know, it's like it just felt like it was a coming of age of some of the kids. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just...
Yeah.
You know, Jack Curry won his battle but didn't get involved in any of the naughty stuff of it, but he frustrated the hell out of them because he didn't respond, you know, showed maturity beyond his age. You know, there was a hilarious bit when Paul Cannon-Baye lost it. I think when Paul Cannon-Baye loses it, I feel sorry for the person that's going to try and put him back. Tan's done it, you know, Zan have done it this time. But when he loses it, he goes, but it felt as if in a way, right, Johnny Jackson was like, you need to get amongst these lot tonight. You need to antagonise them. You need to get them out of there. And it worked a treat. It just, because Richie Wellens on the touchline was literally just losing his... So I think in a way he realised what was going on.
Yeah.
You know, and he couldn't turn his team back from it. He's an antagonising person, Richie Wellens. And when you see Paul Terry there as well, it's like, oh my God, he's like, lot. They can look after themselves, but we done them.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I've not got much time for any members of the Terry family, as you might be surprised to hear, Stu.
Yep.
But hey, at the end of the day, great, fantastic 2-0 win. We needed a performance, like I said to you, reminiscent of the Charlton game a few years ago. We needed that off the back of the Weymouth game. And I just have a couple of points to make because it did piss me off. I wasn't actually angry with the performance against Weymouth. Sometimes it can come across as being angry, or whatever. I wasn't. I was actually worried about the second half performance in particular. Well, I wasn't happy with the first half performance. I thought the first half performance, the whole game was not good. The goal, the early goal as well. It's a great finish by Ayoub, and he's alert to it. The centre half makes, I don't know what the centre half does. He just completely misreads where the ball is travelling or whatever, and he gives Ayoub the chance to get in and finish. But to be honest with you, for the whole game, we looked like we didn't have a clue what we were actually attempting to do, what we were meant to be doing. There seemed no sense of how to go about the game, anything. It was woeful. It really was woeful. What pissed me off most was afterwards when we got Lincoln got knocked out at Chippenham, Cheltenham lost at home to Alvechurch, and Sutton lost at home to Farnborough. I don't give a fuck what happened to other teams. That doesn't make that doesn't make up for the absolute ineptness of that performance, especially in the second half against Weymouth. Sutton could have lost a 5-0 at home to Farnborough. That's Sutton's problem. Our problem was on the pitch. We looked totally clueless in that second half against a team that had only won one game in the National League South all season and hadn't scored a goal in their previous six league games. It was really, really poor. And we talked earlier, and I wanted to reference it about the team as well. Carl Hudlin wasn't allowed to, we believe Huddersfield didn't give him permission to play in the FA Cup.
It's been confirmed.
Okay, Ethan Chislett had a minor knock that precluded him from being involved. We ludicrously have 9 subs on the bench for FA Cup game. Absolutely fucking pointless. Absolutely fucking pointless. And some team, I can't remember who it was, it might be one of the non-league teams that got through. I was watching the highlights and they said such and such only had 4 subs on the bench. Well, they only fucking need 4 subs on the bench. You don't fucking need 9 subs on the bench, right?
But anyway, they can make 5 subs.
Well, they can, but they're not. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can get away with it. It's ridiculous.
Well, I think they don't do 9 subs, I think, until it gets to a first round proper. I think they can, I think when it's in the qualifying rounds.
Yeah, fair.
And going totally off subject very quickly, is it made me laugh because I was watching a Man City Chelsea game in the EFL Cup and there was no VAR because I don't think they can use it in the early rounds. So they weren't using VAR, which was great in a way because it's got a throwback. Because, you know, like when you watch Premier League football now, you wait for VAR. They had no VAR and there were some dodgy decisions, but actually a referee was refereeing the game rather than relying on wherever.
You're telling me that 2 Premier League teams played each other, there was no VAR, and the world did not cave in on itself. It did not burst into a ball of flame. Can you believe it?
But you know what? When I realised they weren't using VAR, I wanted to watch the game more.
Well, yes, because VAR is fucking shit.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? This is great. So we're not going to get, part of his body is an inch further forward than what it was, and it's offside. It's like, let the referees do their job, which they're more than capable of doing.
But
do you know what the Weymouth thing, right? I totally agree. I felt we were making some excuses like, what about them? What about this? What about that? You know, it's very easy to do, isn't it? But FA Cup games are very simple. You know, if we were the favourites for that game, believe it or not, but what it needs sometimes is just a percentage difference. So, you know, and I'm not defending the team, but Weymouth obviously at home, big crowd. I don't think they get crowds like that at all. Big game for them. They raise their game. All it takes is for us to you know, don't raise our game and take for granted and the young team and stuff like that. And that's what it looked like to me. It just looked like they raised their game. We didn't. We couldn't just pick up the pace. We got an early goal, which probably didn't do us any favours with it at all. But we also had a lot of kids. Youngsters, you know, to be fair, Jack Curry is probably more experienced than a lot of them because he'd have played Weymouth probably in the Conference South for Eastbourne Borough last year. But it reminded me of that. Do you know what I mean? But I think the two contrasting performances are just mad. Like, as I was saying, like, if Weymouth come to watch our game on Tuesday night, they'd be like, have we watched the same team?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because we did all the things. Yeah. And that's the most ridiculous thing. So it just feels like sometimes, I don't know how we got sucked into that. That's my worry. You know, we got sucked into a little bit of a battle and we didn't have the know-how to come out of it. but we don't really have a bench. And that's the worry. That's the players that are coming on, and you're right, you know, the player, like, no disrespect to Alfie Bend or anyone like that, or David Fisher, but coming on
in that safety,
I don't
exactly.
Know, I don't know what I don't know what the atmosphere was like. I'm guessing it was
quiet.
I don't know what the was it?
Well, yeah, but what I mean is, like, the second half behind the goal, it was quiet. Like, the Weymouth fans were a little bit up, obviously, but they, you know, then a lot of those are coming probably for either the first time ever or the first time in many years. They're not going to be getting involved in soon. So behind the goal, first half it was almost constantly singing from our end, constantly. Second half, where the performance gradually got worse and worse and worse, it's you know, we've all been there. It's that sort of Harrogate sort of, or Sun, where it's just quiet, and then you wait for the final whistle to go before you get the explosion of dissatisfaction with all the booing and everything else. But it was clearly, and I suppose the word, it was sort of angsty, the feeling, I guess. Yeah, there wasn't any sort of audible, really, annoyance, but there was a tension there. And you're right, in that situation when you're really struggling to get a foothold in the game, with good players, but Alfie and David Fisher don't bring them in that situation. What are you expecting them to do? They're not going to be leading the team at that moment in time.
No, I think it's hard work for them. I mean, you can say, well, they were bottom of the South, in the National League South. And I get that. But the FA Cup players raise their performance. Can they do that every week? No. Can we play that way every week? Well, obviously, we proved that we didn't with the Leighton Orient performance. And you probably get the Leighton Orient performance on the back of the performance against Weymouth, potentially.
Yeah.
So I think what they said publicly and what was said privately, I think, are two different things. Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean with that? Yeah. But I think the thing that annoyed me the most, right, was our goal that we conceded reflected, in my opinion, our performance and mindset. Mm. How do you not? And from what I understand, Jack Curry was doing a typical lying on the floor behind a wall and was taken out of that.
Yeah.
That just says to you, not do your basics right. You know, you're the professional club. You're the club that's got the experience. Who doesn't, you know? Anyone who doesn't set up that way is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
And that, I think that summed up to me maybe our mindset on the day, because they're just basic errors. And I blame Zanev for it, if I'm being truthful, because he's the one that should line the wall up. He's the one that dictates. He can see everything. So if Gunter takes him out, which apparently happened, then, sorry, Gunter shouldn't be doing that, even if he is a Welsh record holder of caps. The goalkeeper sets his wall up. And if it doesn't, it goes his side, it goes in. So I blame Zanev for that, because he's got to be stronger. Mm. should be. If Lionel Messi can lie on the floor for a free kick, then so can Jack Curry. There's a reason why people do it, you know. But when I saw the goal and heard about the goal, it just summed up to me from what I heard of our mindset that day.
Yeah. And Spike, who's been on this podcast before and does 9 years TV with us, he made a good point. It was quite close in, so the chances of him getting it up and over the wall and back down were very, very slim. So the wall doesn't... Clearly, maybe that's in their thinking. They think, we don't need someone lying down because we're not going to jump, because he can't get it up and over. And then they ended up jumping anyway. But anyway.
Look, when you look at it back, the reason why I think Chris Gunner wanted him to go off because there was someone wide on the angle, right? But then just leave something else. Just leave someone free in the middle, because you're not going to pass the ball into the air. You're not going to...
No.
As you say, there's no way you're going to loft the ball to get a header. So actually... Yeah, if you're going to mark the person wide, then just take someone out from the middle. Don't take the person out. But again, excuse me, if you look at our set pieces defensively, we can see a lot of goals. Mm. And the reason for that, I was watching again against Leighton Orient. I just don't think we set up. I don't think we set up early enough. You know, there was a corner in the first half. We had loads of time to set it up, and we didn't set it up. It just feels to me, I think we lack it. The set piece coach does concern me. I think we lack that. Because I don't think it doesn't feel to me like we set up properly enough. But then that goes back to what you were saying in terms of how are we playing. You know, like, I think we were chatting, you said you just didn't know how we were attacking, how were we trying to win that game. Mm. I think it was just still learning with it. I still think we're falling into Tuesday night is better, and we now need to realize that's probably how we need to play. But we just keep changing the side so many times, don't we? And you're right, when players come back, how do we go?
well, what do you do when players start coming back? But who knows? Maybe we're going to have a rotation of injuries throughout the season, and then people will just come back in, and we'll forever this season have a bench which doesn't really give us many options. But hey, we'll see. The last point I want to make about Weymouth actually is to tie the two games together. You said Weymouth, if they'd come to watch us against Leyton Orient, might be thinking, how is this the same team that we saw on Saturday? Richie Wellens made that point in his post-match interview with Leyton Orient. He said, look, I watched this team against Crewe. He said, I came down and watched them against Crewe. I came down and watched them against Harrogate. This team that he saw, he said, this team I'd seen tonight, he said, nothing at all. Nothing at all like those teams, those performances. And that shows you, well, it shows you the difference, hey. But anyway.
They now show they can do that, though, Nick. That's the thing now. You know, we know we've got a decent team that's probably better than what it is. And they've now got to put that work in. They're sort of non-negotiables, aren't they, in terms of, you know, working hard and second balls and stuff like that. So, you know, and you know what? The funny thing was, after the 9 years TV, we actually were starting to look at the player position. Isn't it amazing how football fans... I think after Crewe, I was looking at how far we are from the relegation zone, and after winning is late, and I'm looking going, oh, you know what? We're not far away from the playoffs now.
Well, hey, look. All I'm going to say is, Stu, is let's not get carried away. Okay?
That's what happens when you have a... Do you know what? London derbies should always be midweek. Always be midweek. I just think the atmosphere is so much better on London derbies. Mm. You know, you're going back to the Charlton game and Lautaro scored, do you know what I mean, that thing? And we go back to the Charlton game. I think midweek, London derbies, always midweek. That's a new rule.
My exception to that rule will be the 2-1 win away at Charlton in the Valley in 2016, which remains, Stu, the greatest away day ever.
You know what? Who's Tyrone Barnett playing for? He was playing against Pompey, wasn't he? He was at Hereford now.
Yeah, for Hereford.
Oh, my days.
That... Look good. I'd have him back.
Well, yeah. No. to be fair, though, he's obviously because of Curzon National were playing, weren't they? And they showed some of the games of that. Still feel a bit of an arsehole for the Curzon National walking out, and their fans were saying, well played and good luck in the next round. And I'm like, we have just got away with daylight robbery.
Well, you say that, weren't they? You say that, Stu, but I do, because we spoke about this actually. I spoke about this with Chris actually about the Curzon National game, and I have to make the point, okay, yes, I've got it here. So that Curzon Ashton game, how many shots did Curzon Ashton have in that game?
Oh, everyone they shot went in, didn't it?
They had 4 shots, 3 on target. Yeah. How many shots did we have?
I don't know. But you know what? It went, they were a non-league team, but I remember at the game thinking, one, it's blimmin' cold, very cold.
Yes, it was very cold.
But it turned into a CCL game at the end where, do you know what, when we used to play games against CCL, you could see they just whacked.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And all of a sudden they sort of shrunk within themselves. So the player that was 6 foot looked like he was 5 foot because he was knackered, hunching.
Yeah, because he was shanty, yeah.
And I remember we were fortunate enough being behind a goal and you go, knees are gone. But I just felt really bad being congratulated. Like, that's non-league, isn't it? Non-league is about, you know, proper fans sometimes, isn't it? I still feel a bit like we walked away with a...
Nah.
But yeah, Tyrone Barnett, he's now gone to Hereford. But you know what? Hereford is a proper old ground, isn't it? Like, some these grounds that are the old style are just great. Anyway, I've just gone way off the subject.
Fine. I totally agree with you. I'm just conscious that our time is about to get away from us. But I will just say very quickly, Curzon Ashton, Stu, we had 33 shots.
13, really?
13 on target. We had 14 corners. They had 1. So I think we were fully merited winners on that occasion. Anyway, Stu, with all that talk of London derbies, midweek or not, let's actually get to a very prescient? Apt game of Jackson.
I have no idea what that move by means.
5. Means, you know, a good prediction would be prescient, something you say that proves to be very wise after a period of time. Almost as if you foresaw something that was going to happen. Apt just means it's fitting for the occasion. And the occasion was a London derby against Leyton Orient on Tuesday night. Stu, we won a London derby. for the first time since August 2021. Can you name me the last five London derbies that we actually won prior to Leighton Orient?
Well, that helps because obviously London teams, I should get them. Oh, dear. Charlton?
Okay, but you have to give me more information. You can't just yell at more information. Charlton, when?
Would you want the actual dates? Like, I'm not a Mikey T.
Well, the result, yeah.
Okay, Charlton, I'll just give you even more challenging. Charlton 1-0.
At King's Meadow,
At King's Meadow.
Yep, that's one. April 2018, yeah.
Crikey, I'm running out of ideas already. Anyway, they won. They must have been at King's Meadow because we didn't play, I don't know, Leighton Orient.
No.
A 3-0 win.
No. We did beat Orient 1-0, I think, the year we got promoted from League Two, but no.
Yes, and we also beat them 3-0 in the pizza trophy. There wasn't the pizza trophy at the time.
Doesn't count.
Who else is in London? I don't like this question. I'm trying to think now who is in our league that's in London. That's my dog. You can hear whining, by the way. No, I locked it out.
That's fine. How early do you want to throw in the towel? This could be you're throwing in the, like Bret Hart against Bob Backlund in 1994. The white towel might.
I was going to say. Do you know what? I saw a fight of Ricky Hatton's son. I don't know what his first name is. And he literally, his opponent threw the towel in with one body shot. I think I'm going to be like that person. Yeah, literally, first punch. That's like payday done. I don't know. I'm going to throw a towel in because I can't even think now. I'm going to be embarrassed with this one.
Oh, my word. There's one game on here that I cannot believe. Okay, Stu, right. One of them, I'll give you a clue to get this one and then we'll call it off after this. Okay, right. How do I introduce you on the show every week? Or every 2 weeks. Oh, yeah. We missed last week. I do apologize.
West Ham.
There we go.
Yeah, yeah, but that's like a King's Meadow. Like that's some.
So was Charlton.
Yeah, but I remember that because you reminded me of it at the start of the show.
Well, the reason I said this was a mad stat is because Charlton, of our last five London Derby victories before Leighton Orient, Charlton will appear in three of them. We beat them in the League Cup last season, if you remember. Paul Ossu scored the only goal at the Valley, first round win. Before that, it was West Ham in January 2019. Before that, it was Haringey Borough in the FA Cup in November 2018. Then came the Charlton game, April 2018, that you talked about, Lyle Taylor with the winner. And before that, Charlton again at King's Meadow in the FA Cup second round. We beat them 3-1. In December 2017. So, yeah, in the course of 5 years, we've won six London derbies.
Is that because we're mostly in a league that's northern, or is it just we haven't got a very good record against London teams?
I think, in fairness, it's mainly we haven't really played that many teams from London. But, yeah, there you go. Charlton, happy opponents for us.
Well, we did beat Charlton in the Pizza Trophy at Loftus Road.
Again. It doesn't care. I've got to make this point as well, everyone. Like, we hadn't kept a... Before Leighton Orient, and we haven't even talked about the fact we kept a clean sheet. It was our first clean sheet in 12 games, okay? This stat, first clean sheet in 15 games, no, you're adding pizza trophy games. Doesn't fucking count, all right? We're not unbeaten in five, we're unbeaten in four, because one of those games is the pizza trophy, which doesn't fucking count. Ayuba Sal has not scored in three consecutive games because one of them was in the pizza trophy, which doesn't fucking count. Similarly, Stu, and on this note, congratulations to Chris Gunter for being called up for the Welsh squad for the World Cup. But if England win the World Cup in Qatar, guess what, people? Doesn't fucking count because it's in Qatar and I'm not fucking watching. Anyway, with that rant over with, what do you want to talk about next?
Can I just say that the draw for the next round of the Pizza Trophy is on Friday? Doesn't come out.
Thank you, that's not.
Oh. But yeah, by the way, well, do you know what? The World Cup, right, is ridiculous. I'm with you, actually. But it feels like, you know, like World Cup is loads of football. It just feels like there's loads of football at the moment. We're trying to fit games in at the moment. So we're going in from loads of football to the World Cup of loads of football in a desert.
Yeah, and you know what? We've already had a kickoff move because of it. So the Grimsby Town game's been moved forward to a 12:30 kickoff on the 3rd of December.
Yeah, and that felt to me like that could have been done a little while ago, because we've known it for a little while, haven't we? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the Grimsby fans coming down, that's not... Hey, look, for us, it doesn't make an awful lot of difference, realistically.
Not really, no.
But I do feel for the Grimsby fans a little bit, unless they beat us, but I don't.
Well,
Mark
we'll
Kennedy,
see.
By the way, Mark Kennedy at Grimsby.
What? I thought he was at Lincoln.
Mark. Oh, same place. It's that part of the world, isn't it? It is that part of the world. It's that part of the continent.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't
Stu, the best thing about that is that, as we have talked on the podcast in previous years about some of your geography, your geography on this occasion was spot on.
It's that way. I can't believe I got that wrong. Oh, I was going to then talk about the Mark Kennedy, the best bit ever at Blackburn, Mark Kennedy and Ben Thatcher getting told off for trying to aim the ball at the Blackburn fans pre-match. It's still the most funniest thing I've ever seen. It literally target practice. And they called it as well. You can see him pointing. I don't know how many points they got for each kid they hit. But anyway.
I don't know. But Mark Kennedy, of course, used to play for Millwall.
He's not visiting us.
No, not this season anyway. Maybe next season. Anyway, a quick note, changing tact and tone completely for a moment. I just wanted to put on record very quickly, Donald's Trust elections, we're not going to talk about it. There's lots of talk online about everything that's going on with Hustings and stuff like that. Hey, look, apologies to everyone. We wanted to do the Hustings this year, as we have done every year for the past 4 years. I think previous 4 years we've done it. Look, circumstances just did not allow it to happen on this occasion. We didn't have the time and the resources to do it this year. Okay, there's nothing more to it than that. We understand that, you know, other events are being organized, whoever's doing that, whatever reason, that's fine, whatever, we're not involved in it. And but we do just want to highlight that the elections are still taking place, obviously, and we do have 13 candidates for 7 vacancies. So if you're a Don's Trust member, please keep an eye on how you can vote and be a part of the election. But otherwise, I think, Stuart, I thought we were just going to keep stum for this week, because there's not really much else we can say.
No, like I say, I think the problem we've got is, like I say, we do a 9 year TV now, and we ask a lot of our volunteers. We have got quite a big team, haven't we? So, we just couldn't get done. It's gutting, because we like doing them, but nothing we can do.
No, we go again next year, we hope. Right, Salford City on the weekend, Stu, Moor Lane. We are visiting Moor Lane.
Is that what it's called?
Well, yes. To me,
isn't it? No. Okay, I see where you're going with this. Yeah, okay. That's why I got confused.
Moor Lane. It's like Leighton Orient play at Brisbane Road, you know. Who do we play? Tranmere, Prenton Park. You know where I'm going with all these things.
I do. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Chesterfield, Saltergate. I know they've moved, but Saltergate. Do you remember that great ground? Anyway, old, like Hereford, proper old school ground. Mark Wood is the manager, a rookie manager, young Manchester United youth player, injured, injuries curtailed his professional career. He's gone into coaching. He's in his sort of infancy as a manager. Salford, right, Stu, do you want the good news or the bad news?
Bad news.
Good, because we don't have any good news. The bad news is that Salford have lost their last two. They've lost 4 of their last 5. They have not won at home in the league since, or at all, in fact, and since August.
Okay, that's not good.
You know what's coming.
Yeah, well, they lost a big Manchester derby, didn't they, on midweek against Rochdale?
I wouldn't say big. With all due respect to Rochdale and Salford, that's not a big... Come on.
Do you know what? Ian Henderson, who's probably about 48 now, scored the winner against Salford, apparently set up by a person that was ball boy back in 2014. There's a picture of him, and then the picture of this person set him up. But like I say, he's proper granddad now, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
The ball boy's got more assists than Liam Trotter had in his time with us. predictions, Stu, what do you reckon? Salford are still just outside the playoff places because they started the season really well. But yeah, they've hit a bit of a sticky patch.
It's a weird one. I think Tuesday night was having quite a bit out of us, to be honest with you. It's not an intimidating ground. I would go 1-1.
Yeah, I'll take that, though. I will take that.
Yeah, I'll take a point.
Yeah, I mean, my intention is still to get up there, Stu. Don't know how it's going to happen. Avanti Trains, absolute nightmares have messed up so many people's plans for the weekend, but I think I will get there by hook or by crook to tick any Salford off my list.
I don't know why anyone bothers trying to travel or train at the moment.
It's impossible.
Don't see the point.
Got very fortunate, though, I must say, with the coach to Weymouth, because no traffic whatsoever. It was straight down, straight back up, no issues. So that made life a little bit easier. And
How was the coach? Was it
coach was very nice. Very nice coach. And I say the difference really with a coach journey, as I say, is traffic. I think, and the fact we didn't have any straight run through, didn't stop. Same on the way back, straight run, didn't stop. Nice and easy. For what was it, £10? Perfect. So thank you very much. Well done, everyone involved with sorting those out. A success, I feel, on that score. Just not on the pitch, but anyway, oh well. Anything to add?
No, it's just that I'm watching a Man United Aston Villa game, and again, it has no VAR. I'm just actually enjoying it. Although Aston Villa, like, have a proper old boring kit. It's just such an old kit.
Okay, random. I'll take your word for that. What do you think of you touched on it very briefly earlier, the retro kit. I mean, with the risk of making myself unpopular, I hope we have some more retro kits being planned. This one isn't for me. That's not to say I think it's fantastic that it's been done and it's great. And it's going to make us a lot of money. I veer towards a 96, 97, 98 lotto kit if we could.
Which I think Tom was wearing on the 9 years.
Yes.
Would be the,
yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what? You're right. It's not my favourite kit. Although I'm not going to buy it. But I am going to get it for my little boy because I think it's quite nice, the old crazy game. You know, a lot of fans started with a crazy game, didn't they? So I'm going to get it for my little boy. It's not my favourite kit, but I love the idea. What I would say, right, though, this is a conversation I had with Tom Large, was about the box.
Why
is it in a box?
I don't know. Because
Tom said to me, you need a box because you won't take it out of it. I'm like, well, then put it in a frame if you're not going to wear it.
Yeah, I didn't get the box, but I think, I mean, you could do. You could get Trotter on the back of it, and that'd be the first time that shirt's been in any sort of box, in his career. But anyway,
do you know what I would really love if they did was the first kit we had at Selhurst Park, the Admiral with the white with the black. I think we beat Palace from memory, I don't think we did beat. I think we lost 3-2 at Selhurst Park with it. Mm. But they're the kits I love. But you're right, a Lotto one. I had Michael Hughes 16 on the back of my one.
Yeah.
But I think, from my understanding, is there are going to be other retro kits coming out, which I think is a great idea because we all love retro kits. £50, bit on the steep side, but that's football shirts for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I've been to club shops in other parts of the country. I've been QPR and Fulham in my memory as well, and they do loads of them, loads of the old classic kits. So definitely. And I agree with you, a nice black and white one if we can. But not that one you meant. For me, it would be the 97, 98 Lotto one. The one you talked about that Tom had on Tuesday night.
Yeah.
The Leeburn two-headers at Palace kit. Yeah. That for me, yeah.
Oh, that's the best thing. Best thing ever. Leeburn looking up to the stars, not celebrating a goal, but thinking, how the hell did I get scored then? It's just the best picture ever. And of course, now his son is playing up front for Charlton. That makes you feel old.
And on that note, we'll say thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Updates from Salford will be on our Twitter at 9YRSpodcast. And then Weymouth. Oh, yeah, sorry. Very quickly, Stu. We anticipate good £15 for adults for the replay with Weymouth on Tuesday night. So I think as poor as the performance was, that was Weymouth's chance gone. And I expect we will go through to meet Chesterfield in the second round.
I'm not saying that. You just know, look, it's not going to be the same crowd in terms of it's going to be a lower crowd. I don't know. Oh, no, yeah, we'll win. But you think Weymouth have had their... well, they did lose 3-2 on the weekend at St Albans. That sort of brings you back down to earth, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah, memories of St Albans. Anyway, right, that's it, definitely now. Thank you very much for joining me, Stu.
Thank you.
And Alexa Bliss... Bag first, milk last, 2 + 2 = 4, and we shall speak to you again next week.